You'll open your Bibles this morning. Hallelujah. I do feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Really what I just spoke about goes right along, obviously, with the song, especially the one my wife sang. Amen. I thank God for my wife. I'm glad that she's here. She can forevermore sing. I leave the singing to her and the preaching to me. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all. Everybody said all. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, under your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. Pastor Cal, when you pray this morning.
God, we love you. We thank you for your word and for your spirit today. I pray, God, that your word would be as
God, I need your anointing. I need your anointing. God, I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. God bless you this morning. You may be seated. As I mentioned earlier, I don't know any of you, so if I end up preaching down your pathway this morning, you know it's from God. Amen. Because I don't know, like I said, other than the Cowans, this is the first time I've met any of you that I can recognize. You two young men look kind of familiar. I may have met y'all at Heritage, but definitely didn't know. My boys may know you, but I don't. Amen. There may be some here this morning that feel like a failure because things have not worked out in your life the way that you thought that they would. Some may feel like a failure because of mistakes that have been made. Some because of decisions that maybe even that you may have made. And some even just feel inadequate to be here today. Some may feel frustration because havoc that life has bestowed upon you. Some with no fault of your own. And can I tell you, you'll find out I'm very just realistic. Sometimes life is just life. It's just life. But regardless of what has happened in your life, your lot in life, if you will, or even the circumstances that you are facing, whether self-inflicted, because we all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. There was only one perfect, and they crucified him. I'm gonna stop here and say something else. Amen. When you find the perfect church, it ceases to be perfect when you get there. There's one couple that had a perfect situation. That was Adam and Eve, and they couldn't last. So when you get to the perfect church, it ceases to be perfect. And, you know, it may sometimes all you have is the willingness to be at church. All right. Yeah. You may feel like you have nothing left to give to God. But I've come to preach to you tonight, this morning, that the blessing is in the baggage. All you have left is the baggage of your mistakes, the baggage of your decisions. And every time you try to go forward, you see the baggage there in front of you. It's a reminder of things that have gone wrong. It's a reminder sometimes of bad decisions. And all you see is the baggage. It was Amos chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, and I thought Pastor Calvin was going to quote this for a second. Therefore saith the Lord God, an adversary there shall be even round about the land, And he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. Thus saith the Lord, as a shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch. I want to read that also from the English Standard Version, where the same two scriptures, thus saith the Lord God, an adversary shall surround the land and bring down your defenses from you, and your strongholds shall be plundered. Thus says the Lord, as a shepherd rescues from the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel dwell in Samaria be rescued with the corner of a couch and part of a bed. Now, I'm 53 years old, so I've been around a little while. And there's no one, can I tell you, there's no one here. I don't care if you're raised in church. None of us today here had much to offer to the Lord. Maybe you were in the mouth of the lion. But if you can just give God what you have, it may be nothing more than two legs or just a piece of an ear. That may be all that you can bring to the Lord this morning. But he can rescue you and make something out of you today. Isaiah 64 and 6, but we all are as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Oh, we've all sinned. Romans 3 and 23 tells us, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I'm here today to tell you that God can take your failures and make something out of him for his glory and for his honor. Let's turn to a very familiar story in the Word of God. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. Now it came to pass when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And we notice in this scripture, this wasn't a figment of their imagination, but the Bible explicitly tells us that there was a famine in the land. Bad times had come. Food was scarce. There was a true need in the country. There was a famine. But Elimelech takes his wife and his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and he brings them from the land of promise, the land of praise. Bethlehem is in Judah, meaning praise. He brings them from the land of praise into the land of Moab. Moab, Psalm 68, the Bible says, Moab is my washpot.
Right, right.
Amen. Moab was accursed. Do you know where Moab come from? An incestuous relationship between Lot and one of his daughters. His two daughters, when they escaped out of Sodom and Gomorrah, went into a cave, and they got their father drunk, and the one daughter slept with him one night, next daughter slept with him the next night, and they became with child, and you have Ammon and Moab that was born. And so these were the descendants of Lot. Of an incestuous relationship. So in the land of Moab, Elimelech, in the course of time, he passes away. And the two sons marry Moabite women. And as life would have it, both of those men passed away. And so you have three widows left in the land of Moab. But somehow, some way, word comes to Naomi that there's revival. There's bread in the house of Judah.
Yeah.
Oh, somewhere in that backslidden state. Man, why am I preaching it like this morning? Somehow, in her backslidden condition, she hears that there's a church in Augusta that if I can just make my way to, I don't have anything to offer. But a life of problems and a backslidden heart and condition. I keep feeling the hammer that this morning. Hey man, I've preached this before, but I haven't preached it this way like this. Naomi was a backslider. She couldn't offer anything. She had lost her husband, and she had lost both of her sons. She had nothing to bring to church but baggage. Woo! Can I tell you this morning that there's going to be some folks come to this church, and you know what? They're in their mind. In their mind. And really, in actuality, they're bringing nothing but baggage.
Sure.
But God can take that baggage. I'm getting ahead of myself. Amen. But I'm here to tell you that God can take your baggage. I don't care if you were raised in church or you've been in church for 20 years and you made mistakes. God can take all of that baggage and He can make a promise out of it for you.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
He is a God of restoration. Let me just say something here real quick. I don't know where any of you are. I'm not going to qualify that anymore. I'm just going to preach. There may be somebody here today that you're looking out. You may feel like there's a famine in your personal life. And you're looking out. And you're looking at the land of Moab. Well, it's bad here, and I'm having a famine in my life, but there looks like there's greener pastures out there.
Come on.
Be careful, because underneath that green pasture could be a septic tank. I'm just telling you, if you'll just stay in the ship, if you'll just stay right here in the church, and you'll get plugged in, there may actually be a famine, but there's going to come a day that there's going to be bread back in the house. The prodigal son came to his senses and said, there's bread enough in my father's house and to spare.
Oh, yes.
What? Say that again. There's enough for me and you and you and all y'all. I'm from Texas. All y'all. And there's going to be some left over. Some of that yon lanyap. Some of that left over. I'm putting you over the top stuff. Revival. I'll tell you, I feel a revival. Revival's gonna come. You know what? I'm happy when sinners come in, but I tell you what, I'm just as thrilled when a backslider prays back through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let me just tell you a couple stories real quick. I may not get done. That's all right.
Yes,
amen. I had a young lady. I was a pharmaceutical rep for 18 years. And this was about 20. Well, it was 2020 when it happened. I'd called on this office for a little while, but I called on them every Monday. And there was a young lady in that office. And she was the doctor's stepdaughter. And just kind of, you know, because I was in the office all the time, we kind of struck up a friendship, and I brought Starbucks in quite a bit, and that kind of helps friendships, don't it? And so it definitely helps in sales. But I got to be friends with the doctor, and you know, of course, friends with her, and my aunt had gotten COVID in 2020. And boy, that's another message in itself. And they had given her a 15% chance to live, and we were preparing for the day that she would pass on. Can I tell you? Let me just give a sidebar real quick. I'm not going to try to hunt too many rabbits today, but God healed her. They listen to this. They released her to hospice, and rehab come and picked her up from hospice. And she's still alive and praising God today. But anyway, we thought that she was fixing to pass. And so I posted that a tribute to her that I'd gotten the Holy Ghost at the age of 8, but it wasn't until the age of 13. My uncle pastored, her husband pastored in Sacramento, and I went out there and spent the summer with him, and I really learned how to worship and to pray and just kind of really, you know, that formative years, and I got plugged in. And my aunt, along, of course, with my mom and a couple other women, as far as women go, in men influence, but I just was that, you know, she was the one at the point of death, and so she, along with a couple others, were in the influential women in my life. So I came in the next Monday, and she said, "Hey, I saw your tribute to your aunt." I said, "Yeah." She goes, "You didn't say anything about your spiritual experience." I said, "Well, most everybody knows what I was talking about. You ever been to a Pentecostal church?" She said, "No." I said, "Pentecost Sunday's coming. Why don't you come? We got Brother Rodney Betts." Or I didn't say Brother Rodney Betts. I said, "We got a guest minister." It was Brother Betts. And I said, "We got a guest minister. He'll be preaching. Why don't you come?" She goes, "Okay, I will." So she and her mom and stepdad and dad and stepmom, I remember who all, there's several that came. Well, she began to come. Amen. And then I baptized her in Jesus' name. That was in May. I baptized her in June. And in September, she received the Holy Ghost. She was a brand new one. Amen. She just graduated from nursing school. I loved it when I looked at the video that they sent. And she's walking across. She's the only one in a skirt and long sleeves. Look at that. You know what? God put me in the right place. I witnessed to her. God filled her with the Holy Ghost. And now she's living for God. Isn't that an awesome story? I want to give you another awesome story. Stan Cloudy had been backslid for 16 years. Now, if any of you ever met Brother Justin Jackson, preached here yet? If y'all ever meet Brother Justin Jackson, you'll know he's kind of like me. He's never at a loss for words. And so I'm knocking doors in Pearland. I was pastoring. We hadn't been there too terribly long. And I was down there one afternoon, and I'm knocking doors, inviting folks to church. And I get a phone call from Brother Jackson. Hey, man. He can't hardly talk. He said, "Bro, Stan Cloudy, he called Dad, and he's going to meet us at the church." I'm like, "Man, I'm on my way." I made it in 5 o'clock traffic from Pearland to Highlands in 22 minutes. Those that live in Houston, you know that's quite an accomplishment. I was flying. I got there in time to see Brother Stan Cloudy. We got a little bit longer vestibule than what y'all have. And he comes in. He don't even make it to the door of the sanctuary. He comes in, and he comes, and Pastor Bishop Jackson, he was Pastor Ty, he's right there, and he literally hits it. My wife was there. He hits his hands and knees, and he crawls to Brother Jackson. I can't help it. I get emotional. And he just grabs a hold of Bishop, and he begins to weep and cry. He don't even get in the door, and God fills him back with the Holy Ghost. And you know what? He's preaching today. This thing ain't just relegated to new people. But there's a lost and a dying world out there that needs an apostolic arm to grab a hold of them. Sometimes they're going to need a shoulder to cry on. They've suffered hurt. They've suffered despair. And sometimes they by themselves
lives. And sometimes they've been hurt by other people. But we need to be that hospital that they can come to. Very rarely. Very rarely does a backslider come back that they don't have baggage. Even if they don't, even if they hadn't been out for a long time, just the fact that they've gone out and delved into sin, they're going to bring the baggage of memories back with them. Oh, I'm going to try to move quickly. Whenever they came back, she had two daughter-in-laws that were widows as well. Can I just let me transport you back in time for a little bit. She understood. Now, the law, and I don't have time to go into it, but the law provided for widows.
Right. Yes, sir.
Also provided for strangers.
Yes.
But the law provided for widows. You know, when Naomi came back, there was nothing that she had to offer Ruth and Orpah but a meager existence. That's why she told them, turn back to your homeland.
Yeah.
Now, we understand that the only hope was at Bethlehem, Judah. But in her backslidden condition, how could she know that? All she knew is, if I can get back, all my land's gone. All my support's gone. All I've got is a little meager existence because I'm a widow. The Bible says as she came back, they said, is this Naomi? In verse number 20, she says, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full. They can leave here full. They may pretend in the world that they are full and they're having a good time. The Bible calls it pleasure. It is pleasure sin, but it's only for a season. He said, and brought me home empty. Even though there was a famine in the land when I left, I've returned empty, but that's not all. I got baggage. I've got a daughter-in-law. One of my daughter-in-laws came. She's baggage. She's baggage. So when Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Every time Naomi saw Ruth, she saw a reminder of Moab. Every time she saw Ruth, she saw a reminder of her husband and of her two sons that died in Moab. Every single time she looked there, David said, and Psalms 51 said, my sin is ever before me. Yeah. It's not that God's hanging it in front of it. It's that the devil says, you know what? Every time you see her, I want to give you a reminder of your past wrongs and your past failures. You will never convince me that Naomi thought some good could come out of this. It was only when Naomi realized that there was no way that she was talking Ruth out of going back to Bethlehem, Judah, that she stopped trying to convince her. She knew the light that expected them. You may have come this morning. Hey, man, you're out of your obligation. Maybe you don't expect to be done anything except just fed a meager existence of a sermon. But while Ruth was indeed baggage, God had other plans.
Yeah.
Verse number 1 of chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth. Of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me go into the field, and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto him, go, my daughter. Naomi, hey man, what you thought was baggage is getting ready to become your blessing. You just bring what you got to God. He'll take that baggage and he'll turn it into a blessing. Ruth said, let me go into the field and glean ears after him in whose sight I shall find grace. However, it would not have happened except that Naomi said, go, my daughter.
Yeah.
had Naomi not released her baggage. This is the crux of what I've come to preach this morning. Had Naomi not released her baggage could not have become her blessing. As long as you keep the pen in your life, the real author, while you're trying to write your own story, if you give the pen to God, He can write that baggage into a blessing for you this morning. Let go of the baggage and let it become a blessing. You bring to God ashes, He'll give you beauty. You bring to God mourning, He'll give you oil of joy. You come with the spirit of heaviness, He'll give you the garment of praise.
Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm go ahead and come to the music. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up.
And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hat was alight upon the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless thee." Oh, then Boaz said unto the servants who were set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabite. By this damsel, it's the baggage that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." Uh-huh. Boaz, I'm gonna skip down. Boaz said, "Don't go glean in another field, but abide here." As a matter of fact, he told the reapers, he said, "When you're reaping, throw some on purpose." You said, you see, there was somebody that came that was baggage. But I'm going to help make them a blessing to Naomi. Because Naomi brought her baggage back to Judah and released it, the baggage became a blessing. And Boaz left enough extra for both Ruth and Naomi. I don't have time to, I've already taken enough time, but Boaz paid the price to purchase Ruth. And the Bible tells us that he took Ruth, and she was his wife, and went unto her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And they began to tell her about the blessings. Verse number 17. Woo. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." Didn't say he was born to Ruth. That baggage? There was a son born. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse.
Father of David.
Father, to the greatest king that Israel ever had. You just go ahead this morning and release your baggage to the Lord, and God will make it the greatest thing that you've ever had. You can either have the root of bitterness, or you can have the root of baggage, which becomes a blessing. If you're here this morning, I don't care if you've had the Holy Ghost for 50 years, and you feel this morning that you have some baggage. If you're here this morning, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Maybe you're a transgressor and you've been backslid. Whatever the case may be,
yes, Jesus.
I invite you down this morning. Hallelujah. These altars are open right now. This morning, hear me, everybody, hear me. I know you're welcome. Just listen to me real quick. I don't care who you are in this building. I think it would be a good idea if everybody came. I don't care if you're a part of this church or not. I want everybody to come this morning. Everybody. If you're physically able. If you're physically able. I want you to come this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, begin to pray. Begin to pray. Would you turn your life over to Him this morning? Will you give Him your baggage this morning? Come on, come on. If you will give your baggage to God, He will take that baggage and make a blessing out of it.
Oh yes, Jesus.
I'm gonna go back while you're praying. I'm gonna go back to my opening text. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You gotta lay down your yoke. Yeah, you gotta pick up his, but it's not as heavy. Will you let God have the pen? Will you let God have the baggage? Come on, press on a little further this morning. Come on, press on a little further. Come on, lift up your hands to the Lord. Lift up your hands to the Lord. Let God touch you today. Let God touch you today. Come on, God wants to make a difference. God wants to take your baggage. I said God wants to take your baggage. God wants to make a blessing out of it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, you're burning today. You're burning today. But God's got a lighter yoke for you. Let Him have control.